Please welcome Margaret Lang.
Yeah, so quite a while back, I had a first date with a man who was a sailor. And on this first date, we met at the yacht club. And looking out on the ocean, he said to me, "Sailing is my life." And I heard that with my ears. And that's about it at the time. Well, he was a great man. He was a very sweet man. We ended up actually marrying. And I had two young children at the time. So we ended up with this blended family. And when we decided to marry, we kind of struck a deal. And the deal was he could have more say in how the kids were raised, and I would have more say in how the money was spent. So that was our deal. And I have to say, to be honest, I was really bad at my end of that deal. I didn't hold it up at all, because when it came time to somebody to tell me how I was supposed to raise my kids or tell my kids something, I was like, I didn't like that one bit. And we ended up with two boats. We had two boats, two lake boats, which seems to me like two boats is plenty of boats, unless sailing is your life. Right. Now, the lake boats, I really enjoyed sailing in the lake. It was great. And I'd never sailed before I met him. You know, my family, we didn't do anything adventurous because I think my parents were convinced that camping could literally kill you. It was somewhere they must have read that. So the most that we ever did was we drove to Solvang and walked around the town and went to a deli and brought food back and ate it. That was our big adventure, which I loved. But so sailing, I was in my late 20s, and this man, he was cute, he had curly hair, he was a plumber, you know, he wasn't a bum, and he sailed, and that was all very exciting. So I tried it, and I said, I loved the lake, but when we went out on the ocean, it's a different feeling, a whole different feeling, you know? And we were sailing out there on a friend's boat one day, and I said, "Oh, what's that thing in the water?" And they said, "Oh, that's the 3-mile buoy." And I went, "Oh, so why is it there?" Because that's marking 3 miles. And I went, okay, that means we're 3 miles out in the ocean. I cannot swim a half a mile, let alone these 3 miles, you know? And then I realized that, unlike the lake, that the ocean, there are things under that water that, yes, could literally chew me up and spit me out. And that the term part of the food chain kind of got cycling through my brain wouldn't stop, you know. Get back onto shore and I'm just thanking all the gods. And so I have to say, I just never got very comfortable with sailing. Part of it was that I didn't know what I was doing. Like, if the person sailing the boat fell off the boat, I wouldn't know what to do. And then usually sailing, it seemed to me, entailed not only knowing what to do with the ropes and the sails, but also how to balance your glass of gin while you did something with these things, which didn't really engender a lot of confidence. And so I never felt totally comfortable with it, but I think I just thought that that was my thing, that if I just tried a little harder or sailed a little more, you know, I'd be like everybody else at the yacht club and everybody else in this group of friends that really loved sailing, you know, that it was my fault, that, you know, some fault in me that didn't really take to it. Well, years later, I ran into the friend whose boat we were on. We were in a 3-mile buoy area. And I said, "Are you still sailing?" He says, yeah, but I sold my ocean boat. I just have a lake boat. I said, "Really? Why? Why is that?" I said, "Oh, I was always afraid out there on the ocean. And I just like wanted to just punch him a little bit, you know, because it's like, why didn't you tell me that then? You know, just acting all hot like you knew what you were doing." So at any rate, one day my husband, this was after we married, he says to me, "I was looking in this ad and I saw this boat. It's, Margaret, it's the boat I've always wanted. I said, oh, really? It's not like the two in the driveway then, right? No, it's a big boat. Big boat, goes on the ocean. I said, oh, okay. He said, I'm just gonna go down and see it. It's in San Diego. I said, okay. So he leaves, and I realized he took the checkbook with him. I was a little concerned. He comes back late at night, and he says, somebody bought the boat. And I went, oh, I'm sorry for you, I'm thinking, but yeah. And then he says, it was me. And I went, oh, crap. And see, we had been saving. We'd been saving for a house. We had a nice chunk of money. And it all went to the boat. And then there was some extra money that needed to be had to buy the boat. And so now all of a sudden we were not flush and we were in debt. But then there's the look on his face. The look, this look of rapture. It's like the child who got everything he wanted for Christmas, and then you tell him Santa got the wrong address. You know? I was like, what are you gonna do? He's like, this is his dream. And then I remember on, you know, the deck of the yacht club, sailing is my life, and sailing really was his life, and he had his dream boat. And at that moment, all these different conflicting emotions going through, yeah, I was angry and I was disappointed, and yet I had dreams too, and I knew what it was to want them. And here he had a chance of getting this dream. Unfortunately, I was less a part of the dream than the boat. That was also clear. To the topic, I didn't rock the boat. I just said, okay, that's great. And there were other things in the relationship that weren't exactly working, and so we parted amicably. And because he was a very good man, I decided not to deboat him. I think, looking back, I could have insisted on selling boats and taking half, and it's so messy, so much trouble, and it was his dream. And so he still has that boat. And I still have a friend.